Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today we take a look at the first reading of St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 21 to 33. Now listen to this carefully, and then I'll have some things to say. Brothers and sisters, be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives should be subordinate to their husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of his wife, just as Christ is head of the church, he himself the Savior of the body. As the church is subordinate to Christ, so wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over for her, to sanctify her, cleansing her by the bath of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So also husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one hates his own flesh, but rather nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak in reference to Christ and the church. In any case, each one of you should love his wife as himself, and the wife should respect her husband. I could say a lot about this passage, but let's get very clear on something. Subordinate does not mean to be a slave. A husband and wife working together make the family. And if it's really working well, the husband consults with his wife, et cetera, and may change his mind, but he consults with his wife before he hands down some kind of edict or whatever. He really listens. And it says here, wives should be subordinate to their husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of his wife, just as Christ is head of the church, he himself the Savior of the body. As the church is subordinate to Christ, so wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. If you really love one another, it becomes very clear to you the different gifts that each of you have. I've had husbands say sometimes, my wife is far better at money than I am. So we do it together because she knows what she's doing and frankly, I don't. There are all kinds of ways, but it's the cohesiveness. It's husband and wife coming together to care for their family. And if one person has a greater gift than another, then the person who's the head of the family should really take advantage of that gift in a good way. To really ask them. I remember when I was growing up, my dad was working so hard, and he could certainly do a lot of math and work things out. But he asked my mother to keep the books at the station for him because he was working day and night, literally. And she did. And she did it very well for him. But he saw, my father saw the talent she had that he didn't have the time to deal with. And he asked her, so they were partners. They were working together. That's what we need today in the church and in society. We need husbands and wives who really build up their family, strengthen their family, love one another, correct one another when that's necessary, but most of all, to love them, to honor, and to respect. Brothers and sisters, we need that more and more. The husband is head of his wife, just as Christ is head of the church, he himself the Savior of the body. As the church is subordinate to Christ, so wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. If a woman knows she's loved, it makes it so much easier to take her part in the marriage. Even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over for her to sanctify her, cleansing her by the bath of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So also husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one hates his own flesh, but rather nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. So it's Christ who unites us. It's not just, I love her, so we work together. No, it's Christ has brought this about. It's a gift. Union between husband and wife is a gift. Pray for it. Strengthen it. Help it. Encourage it in everything. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Think about that. You know, my mother would often say to my dad, well, you know, have you thought about this, or have you thought about that? And every once in a while he'd say, no, I haven't. She said, well, think about that before you make a decision. They knew how to work together as one. That's what we need. And where you have a very strong gift in a woman, a man will take advantage of that in the best possible way, to use it for the care of his family. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak in reverence to Christ and the church. In any case, each one of you should love his wife as himself, and the wife should respect her husband. Respect. Respect doesn't mean bow down and kiss his feet. Respect means honestly listening to him. Honestly listening to him. And then giving your feedback. This is a great mystery, but I speak in reference to Christ and the church. In any case, each one of you should love his wife as himself, and the wife should respect her husband. She obviously loves him, or she wouldn't be married to him, but she respects him. She listens to what he has to say. That's respect. Brothers and sisters, marriage is a great gift for the church, and it's a great grace within the church. Cherish you that are married. Cherish what God has called you to. Live in the light. Love your spouse. Raise your children amidst an environment of love, and God will bless you. This is a great mystery, it says, but I speak in reference to Christ and the church. In any case, each one of you should love his wife as he loves himself. I'm repeating this on purpose. Love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife should respect her husband. Give him respect. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, says Psalm 128. Blessed are you who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways, for you shall eat the fruit of your handiwork. Blessed shall you be and favored. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the recesses of your home, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. That means to respect the Lord, his commandments. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Let's pray that God so blesses us by caring for one another. It means a great deal to your children to see you loving one another, working out difficulties together. Love stands above all. God will bless you. And the Gospel of Luke today, chapter 13, verses 18 to 21. Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? To what can I compare it? It's like a mustard seed that a man took and planted in the garden. When it was fully grown, it became a large bush, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches." Again, he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch of dough was leavened." You've seen that. You've seen people making bread, and they put the yeast into it. They know a certain amount. They put it in, and then they really work with the bread so that that particular yeast is gravitating over the entire pound of dough that you're carrying. And that's what God is asking us to do, is to take time to listen to the Lord. And it may seem so small, and yet the Lord, the more you listen and ask him advice, the more you will know his accompaniment. God bless you, brothers and sisters. I encourage you, go to confession frequently. Stand before the Lord. Ask him to help you. Just for the day, ask him to help you, that you can become more and more, in a certain sense, part of the yeast too, to make the whole body grow, the whole batch of dough grow. When you do that, God hears you. God sees the need and the desire that you have. This morning, there's a little poem I want to share with you. "This morning I left Mass with Christ so new within me. The young yellow trees stood taller as I walked by. The morning doves paused before they pecked their next crumb. The blue sky extended an open invitation. Small children with big backpacks held hands and laughed. A car slowed down so I could cross the street. And then I became worried about many things, forgetting the mustard seed planted in me." Brothers and sisters, we can. We can get distracted. Oh, how am I going to do this? How am I going to handle that? What about this or that? Remember the mustard seed that is in you. God is with you, and God will lead you, and God will help you. But ask for help. Doesn't mean you have to run to God every minute. But ask God in the morning. Ask God in the evening to help you. I know there are times in the day when I've stopped and just said, "Lord, please give me wisdom. Please give me insight." And if I don't sense anything or I don't get an idea that I didn't have, then I go ahead. But I ask God first. And sometimes the course has radically changed. Trust him. Trust him. How do I say God spoke to me? Most often it's a thought or an idea that comes into my head that I thought, well, I never thought of that before. Or I pick up a book and there's a passage in it, or of all, I pick up the Bible, and God speaks his word to me. Trust him, brothers and sisters, and wait upon him, for he loves you very much. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.